Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of February, recording at 9:12 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets with a mostly eased a little bit, very mild. A couple of exceptions. Philippines market was up and the Hang Seng was up a little bit. And European stock markets, well, they had slid around here today. They were quite low at one point, and then when Wall Street was down, and then Wall Street started to recover, and the Europeans recovered to close almost unchanged on average. And Wall Street, which I mentioned, had been down over 100 points, but closed up just over 100 points, so not a bad performance overall. And that was the Dow, of course, but gains were between 1.34% on the Dow to 1.64 on the S&P and over 2% on the NASDAQ 100. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar was a little bit firmer in here today. So were the European government bonds. The treasuries were firmer today also, but gave up those gains as Wall Street steadied. Among the more dramatic action, we had some solid gains in precious metals today. They were pegged back a little bit as Wall Street rallied, so fear seems to be a driving force in here for the precious metals. And gold is currently 915, 916, but it had been up to 924 and a half. Silver is pretty steady overall. March silver is currently 1285, and that's up 38 cents today. And agricultural commodities are mostly firmer in here today. The industrial metals, however, were lower, a little bit lower across the boards. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets are in trading ranges, as you will certainly have observed. But Wall Street's been looking a bit ropey here recently after the worst January on history, according to the pundits. And we actually had, although still above the November lows, we actually had the Dow break down temporarily out of its little tight range, very little tight range over the last week and a bit here today, but it didn't maintain it and pushed back around. We're not going to read too much into that overall. Better performing stock markets. Well, let me go back to Wall Street for a minute, that we have a downward bias to these trading ranges. And there are a number of people who are very frightened that the November lows will be taken out and that there will be another almighty sell-off. And that's probably a majority of observers overall. And there would be a percentage of those people who have decided to align themselves with that position and have been shorting the market and would love to break it through that that low in hopes that there would be an almighty sell-off. Well, fair enough. We will see what happens. But there are also some other stock markets, and they range from China among the big ones, but Brazil among the very interesting ones, and Korea, South Korea, and I can think of Colombia, Chile, and Israel, and if there are few more that I can't that don't spring to mind just at this moment, where these patterns, far from having a South Africa, another one, far from having a downward bias, as I mentioned, for The U.S. Dow and S&P, they actually have a rising basis, a series of higher reaction lows. Now, the trouble is, though, that a lot of stock markets, most stock market indices, had higher reaction lows until the January sell-off. And so that did some technical damage. But overall, as I say, we are still ranging in here. Now, for those who feel that the U.S. and parts of Europe and increasingly more sections of the world are in a depression, they are certainly unimpressed by this and feel it's just sort of ranging until they resume their overall downward trends. And markets are still in overall downward trends, at least as defined by the 200-day moving averages best seen on weekly charts. Those are still declining. So what we've seen really is ranging reversion to the mean in terms of those moving averages. So as the averages go sideways with either a slight downward bias or slight upward bias, those moving averages are coming down, getting closer to the current patterns, although there's still some open space. Nothing's hugging those levels yet. But the sentiment, as they say, is really quite fragile here still. But and there's also a belief that the packages aren't going to do anything except make matters worse. I'm talking about all the stimulative packages that we're getting across the globe. And I think that view is unnecessarily negative. First, we don't know. But what we do know is that these stimulative packages will continue until they do actually meet with some success. And I would feel pretty certain that they will meet with some success at some point. Now, whether that is better in the long term than just allowing the whole system to collapse in flames and then to somehow have the next recovery emerge like the phoenix from the ashes, well, that's a debatable point. That's a different point. But we're not, they aren't going to let the whole system just collapse. Their central banks, governments, their treasury ministries are doing everything that they feel that they can do to stem the slide overall. And I think we will also get more jawboning going forward. But talking about all the measures that they're taking, I would not underestimate the creativity, for better or for worse, to attempt to support asset prices. But then we'll then get jawboning to or a cheerleading campaign to improve sentiment, and sentiment remains very, very negative overall. But if you can step back, well, put it this way. If you'd been going walkabout over the last couple of years and arrived on the scene, I think most people would be rubbing their hands. Well, first there would be a bit of disbelief by most, I suspect. Or for those who say, well, I told you so, and they would be in a distinct minority. I think thereafter there would be a certain amount of rubbing of hands and saying, you know, there are some really sort of good bargains out here. There are some very cheap shares. And yes, we don't know if these are actually base formations yet, but we do know that these ranging chart patterns for stock market indices, that the more they move sideways, the more likely it is that they are base formations overall. But now, tactically, it's not an environment, when you have ranging markets, range-bound markets, that is not an environment for buying on firmness. Buying on firmness quickly leads to losses because markets push up towards the higher side of the range and then fall back towards the lower side of the range. And so if people buy near the upper side of the range, let's say they'll quickly be in losses, and A fair number of them will sell out near the lower side of the range, fearing that markets will break down and run further on the downside. So the only way to play it, and I haven't done a very good job of doing this myself, but I'm changing my tactics and putting in more orders along these lines with things that I like. Things like the ArcelorMittal, things like the BlackRock World Mining Trust, and some others that get discussed here. I'm reverting to my baby steps tactic, which is really designed ideally for very depressed markets in terms of fundamental valuations, but markets that are not trending, but are in ranges that are likely to represent long convalescence periods. So the basic premise of that baby step system is that one has little orders, little buy orders below the market, and we buy as prices fall within the range, and then look for on the next rally towards the upper side, instead of holding on and hoping that one takes the profits on those little positions, or at least on a significant proportion of them, as the market rallies back up, and then replaces the buy orders, small buy orders on the way down. It's an attempt to harvest the range, and the logic of that is that you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide. Bears want another big decline. Bulls want an uptrend. What we have is ranging markets. So it's really a question of deal with it. And I think baby steps is the tactic for that, or sit on one's hands. But if these do turn out to be base formations, and some of you would feel that's a big if, others of you would feel, well, that's a 50-50 proposition, put me in that camp. Others would feel it's even more likely, but if they do turn out to be base formations, then one's going to feel a mug 2 or 3 years from now for not having done some strategic buying on easing in this environment. Because I'm going to be involved in the baby steps activity as well, I'll continue to do it in my trading account rather than draw down on my cash, which is still earning a yield, albeit a much reduced yield. Okay, what else in here? The long-dated government bond prices look toppy pretty well around the globe, but it's only the U.S. market that's seen a big drop, and that has been a big drop. When you think that the let me take it the other way around in terms of yield, that the U.S. 10-year treasuries got within an eyelash, was this in November, of 2%. Maybe it was December, early December, but it got within an eyelash of 2%. And they're up, what are they now? Up around 280 something on those yields, 2.8. So there's been quite a bit of weakness in that sector. If the Fed is going to back its bluff and buy those, now perhaps is the time to do so. We will see. Now, precious metals, I like the action. It's a bit choppy, but this is gold is testing the lowest of its descending peaks from last year's highs just about a year ago, so it's already broken the downtrend that could be drawn on that. I'm talking about the US dollar price of gold, of course, and it's holding quite steady near that former high. And really, gold would have to fall all the way back under $800 to really cause this pattern to deteriorate significantly. But instead, we've got gold a little over $915 and looking very steady. Silver is its high beta proxy, and is doing quite well now. The platinum and the palladium, and palladium, those who trade palladium can't quite make up their minds whether it's a precious metal or an industrial metal. And in my book, it is very much a precious metal. It has a lot of industrial uses. This is gold, incidentally, but there are higher, excuse me, a bigger factor, bigger percentage factor in terms of palladium consumption, and not least in those automobile catalytic converters. And of course, the car market has been hit really, really hard in here. So that's the big negative, but it's all in the price. The price is cheap. It's looks like a rounding base formation to me. And platinum rather has flirted with that psychological $1,000 level on a number of occasions in recent months. And I suspect that one of these days, and not very long away perhaps, that it's going to blast up out of that and attract some trend following demand. But you know I'm long, so you can question the objectivity of my comments. I've got a little bit of gold, I've got a little bit of silver, and I've got a bit more in the way of platinum. My silver and platinum positions are about the same size. I feel I'm underweight in gold and may correct that situation. What else to mention? The US dollar. One of my hypotheses is that stock markets may not do better, or perhaps I should say will do better, when both the dollar and the yen weaken. Because the dollar and the yen have, of course, been the carry trade currencies, particularly the yen, for a number of years. And when the dollar is strong, as it has been recently, and when the yen is strong, as it has been recently, then people say, aha, we're getting more global deleveraging, and they're probably right. But there's also a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy in this, in the sense that when stock markets weaken, then there's a knee-jerk response to buy the dollar and buy the yen on the basis that other people are going to be forced to deleverage. Now, the yen weakened in here today. The US dollar is up to one, is up over 91, 91 yen as I speak. The dollar looks pretty overstretched to me, and I think it's unsustainable. So I nibbled a little bit more, buying a little bit more euro. I'm in here today. Again, I'm going to do this on a baby steps basis. One could pick other currencies, of course, because people talk about the euro's problems as well. I think they've rather overdone that. Fundamentally, I think the dollar's in worse shape, but that's a debatable point. And what we do know, though, is that the last significant thing that happened in those currencies markets was for the euro to weaken against the dollar and fall back to some prior support, which is why I'm cautiously nibbling on weakness. And as I say, I will baby steps trade that out as those positions, or if those positions move into profit. Meanwhile, not a bad Thursday, given the end of the world talk that we're hearing in some quarters. So I'll just say all the very best to all of you, and we'll hope for a profitable Friday.